All right, we are headed to the third core truth of life. I have to tell you, this is one of those sermons that it could end up becoming one of these more theoretical type sermons and not very practical in nature. I'm not even going to probably spend a whole lot of time trying to prove my point. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what the point is and then not even spend that much time proving it. Just actually go right into the application because one of what's the point? That's exactly what I'm asking. This is going to be the difficulty with this is everyone's at a different stage in their life. Everyone's at different areas in their life. People are different maturity levels, spiritual maturity levels. Some people are closer. Some people are farther away. Some people don't know where they're going. Some people know where they're going. So y'all are all over the map. And that's going to be a very difficult thing for me to talk about. So I'm going to be trying to hit as many of the categories, as many of the groups of people that I can hit. So what we're going to do, this is the third core truth of life. You ready to write it down if you need to? Third core truth of life. Well, actually, let's take a moment. What are the first two core truths of life? First core truth of life is there is truth. Yeah, and that's one of those hard things to try and understand, hard things to try and believe, but there is in fact truth in life, and there is a person that dispenses truth, and that person is God Himself, and we have the Bible, and people have to live by truth. Remember that you will live out, your actions will be determined by your truth that you hold to. If you have no truth, then your life will live that way. You will continue to just wander aimlessly in life, not knowing what to do and where to go. If you have the wrong truth, your life will reflect that. You will have problems in your life because you will always be doing the wrong things that God wants you to do. So there is truth, and we have to establish that there is truth, and we have to then find and discover the truth so that we can anchor our life to that. Secondly, what was the second core truth of life? I am valuable. Yes, I am valuable. I am loved. Yeah, it's not that schmoopsy, wonderful, oh, I feel so good about myself, stand in front of a mirror and say, I'm wonderful and I'm loved. No, it goes beyond that because it goes beyond our circumstances. It goes beyond where we are at in life, and it says that we are intrinsically valuable because of what God has already said about us. We looked at the pearl of great price and the pearl of the, or in the parable of the hidden treasure, and we found out that God thinks that we are actually valuable people. And the problem is most of us don't live up to the value that God has placed on us. We have the ultimate price tag switch that has happened to us. Now we turn to the third core truth, and that is there is a purpose in life. There's a purpose in life. Now, again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I was going over this and I remember that I had actually addressed this topic in a different context, a different format, back when we were studying creation and evolution. And we had found out that if there is a purpose in life, then the theory of evolution kind of crumbles and falls. September 11th is probably the easiest thing for us to prove that there is a purpose. Why was everyone crying on September 11th? Why was everyone upset on September? Why was that, Becca? Yeah, and there are some people that died, and some children even died, and we were all sad, and we were all upset. But if there is no purpose in life, then the only reason to live is to ultimately die and become fertilizer for the soil. Now, again, this is one of those very difficult things that people that don't want to follow a God, they have a real hard time with this concept because they would much rather eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that, again, when September 11th comes, everything gets thrown out the window because we think that people are valuable. We think that there is a purpose in life, and the purpose in life is not to just die. There actually is supposed to be more to that. If we had no purpose in life, there'd be chaos, right? There was no purpose.
There
is a purpose. That's it. But if there was no purpose, this place would be chaotic. People would be doing whatever they wanted. Who really cared how you lived? Who really cares how you believed? And that's a difficulty that too many people have. They don't have a purpose in life. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to ask, I think, probably the very important questions as we take a look at purpose in life. And that is, first of all, who really cares? Who really cares about this type of information? Who really cares if there is a purpose in life? Why is it something that is important for our life? And secondly, what's the benefit? Why do we care about studying this today? What's the benefit to us as people, as Christians, as we find and try and discover purpose? And then also, what do I do with this information now that I have it? Again, these are questions, universal questions I ask before every sermon. And it is no different when we go through these core truths of life, because if we just theorize and philosophize and religiousize and is religiousize a word? We religiousize and we come up with all these, oh, wonderful seven core truths of life and stuff like that. Again, the question I always ask, who really cares? What
Why do we need to learn this stuff? And I think the purpose today, this one is going to be a very, very interesting stuff. The first thing you have to do is you have to identify where you're at. Again, everyone's going to be at a different spot in their life. Some of you are going to say that you don't know your purpose in life. Some of you are going to say, I know my purpose in life. Some of you are going to say, well, I know my purpose in life, but I'm not doing my purpose in life. And some of you say, well, I don't know my purpose in life, but I'm just doing something. And some of you will then fall in the category of, I know my purpose and I'm doing my purpose. There are kind of four categories. And you got to, first of all, say, where am I at in my life? And that will determine then how you take this message. So we're going to actually hit all of them, because I think everyone eventually goes through all four of those categories. So I got a little box up here. Maybe this will help. Let's go here. Yes. So the idea here is if you are not doing and not found is just purpose. If first of all, you have not found your purpose in life, and secondly, if you are not doing your purpose in life, then you are confused and lost. And I as I was thinking about this, I realized that the majority of people, I'd say, 98% of people don't fall into this category. Because we're very good at doing stuff, right? We're very busy people, right? There's only a few people that really don't do anything. We call them college graduates, right? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no, I got to watch out. I got college grads in here. No, yeah, sit around playing. When I'm sitting around playing my PlayStation and praying for a PlayStation 2 for Christmas, because I've been a good boy, Santa, then I would say that I have not found my purpose. I'm not doing it. I'm just confused and lost. But at least I'm happy and having a good time. Now, this is a temporary state that people. This is those times when you sit back and you go, "What am I doing? And where am I going?" That these are actually serious times when you stop and, for out of the blue, you get hit with the question, the all important question, the question that people say, "Oh, I need to go on a mission of self discovery." You say, "Why am I here? What is the purpose of my life?" And you sit there, depending upon how deep you are, this could take anywhere from 5 seconds to 5 minutes for it to pass through your head. And you either do one of two things. You either say, well, I really don't care. Or secondly, I really don't have time for this. I really don't want to sit here and think, because this is bumming me out. Too many people enter into this temporary state and only stay there temporarily and then move on and actually either do something or find their purpose. Now, this is important because Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 actually says something really cool. We'll go up here. Yes, Proverbs 25. Now, some of you guys ain't going to like to hear this, but you're going to have to hear it anyway. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Do you kind of hear the language in there? It's not as if God's going to create some big, huge neon sign flashing while you drive down the street and say, "Here is your purpose." Oh, well, thank you for... haven't we all wished we had some sort of operating manual for life? We've been desperate for stuff like that. So a lot of people don't know, don't care, they haven't found out their purpose, and they're not doing anything about it. And you have to say, the purposes of a man's hearts are deep waters, and it's a man of understanding that draws him out. It takes hard work, it takes effort, it takes energy. It's hard and difficult to do, but the payoff is definitely well worth it. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, because again, I think most people are busy people. And that's what causes us to slip, usually, into the next category. We'll look at that right now. And that is, you have not found your purpose in life, but you're at least doing something. And you will find out that one of three things will actually happen to you. Maybe the list could be more. You will either be miserable, tired, and if you start talking about religious stuff, you'll become a Pharisee. You'll become Pharisaical.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I think it's a word. Is Pharisaical a word? Yes, that's a word. Yeah, question my word choice. We have very busy people. All of us are usually working a lot, whether it be changing diapers, closing deals, cleaning up, cooking dinner. I don't care what it is. We are usually active people. I usually go around and say, "Hey, what are you doing this time?" I really don't do much in life. Yeah, that just doesn't happen. Everyone's usually saying, "I'm really busy. Why don't you call my secretary and my secretary will call your secretary and we'll get our day planners out and our Palm Pilots and we'll connect them together and find out if there's a mutually exclusive date that we can find and actually sit down and talk. So many people are busy in life. So now the question you have to ask is, what am I busy about? Because if you are in this category, that means you have not found your purpose in life. Maybe you don't want to take the time, maybe you don't really care, but you just want to be busy in life. Now, this is also a dangerous category because a lot of people get stuck here. I see so many people in this category, and it's hard to break out of it because you've been so busy doing the stuff you've been doing that it becomes such a habit that you get scared about asking, well, what is my purpose in life? Because if I find a purpose in life and actually start doing it, I might end up not doing the very things I'm doing at this moment in time. And that scares people to death. It's actually very funny when pastors especially slip into this problem, because I think church slips into this problem a little bit too often. Right? Are we busy at church? Do we have people that volunteer here? Right? We have people that do the food. We have people in the nursery. We have the musicians that play. We have people running sound. We have people running power. A lot of you, we have just a huge volunteerism base here at Searchlight Ministries. What's so cool about that is things can actually happen and get done here. The danger is a lot of people start doing stuff and they have absolutely no idea why in the world they're doing it. We need some volunteers for the nursery. Okay, I guess I'll do it. I'll go back there. And people go back there, yeah, well, I like kids. I guess I should do this. And so they get back there, and then things get kind of chaotic, and kids are screaming, and things are smelly, and toys are being thrown, and Mark Thomas is hitting someone else usually. It's really this mess back there, and that's when people start burning out. People start dropping like flies because they have no idea why they're doing what they're doing. They haven't quite gotten the purpose behind their mission. A lot of people say, so what about bringing food? No, there's mission in bringing food because you bring me then. If food is there, I'm going to be there. And that's where I know a lot of you don't come for the music. I know you don't come for the message. I know you come for the food. And that's okay. God bless you. I think that's absolutely wonderful and fabulous. But if the people bringing the food kept saying to themselves over and over, why am I doing this? Who really cares? Am I making an effect on the kingdom of God? Then eventually, they're going to start dropping one by one because they're tired of doing what they're doing. Now, we have some scripture passages. These are important. I love this. Galatians. Paul's writing. He says, it is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. In other words, he's saying, do this. Can you be zealous all the time, not just when I show up on the scene? In other words, on Sunday mornings I show up, and then it's the rest of the week that you have to start worrying about and start thinking about and start actually being zealous about. And again, I said that you could also come Pharisaical. Jesus, it's always, it's so easy to find, Pharisee passages. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. What he's telling them, he says, you guys are so wonderfully religious, but you have forgotten the reason why you are religious. A lot of people do that. Here they're giving a tenth of their spices. We call that the offering, right? And some people say, here I put money in the plate, but I have no idea why I'm doing it. These people would be fasting, and they'd put on the sackcloth and ashes and walk, oh, woe is me, well, look at me, I'm so spiritual, how wonderful. And Jesus comes along and says, what are you doing? If that's the reason why you're fasting, if you're fasting in order to draw attention to yourself and to say how good and religious you are, you missed the point. You've lost the purpose. That's why I think church fights start all too often. We're good at doing stuff. We're good at doing communion. We're good at doing music. But don't forget why we do exactly what we do. There is a purpose behind this. There is a reason why we sing praises to God. There's a reason why we have this communion, not to just have a break in the service, we could turn down the lights and have a nice, wonderful little intimate moment. No, there's actual purpose behind it. Too many people slip into Pharisee mode and say, oh, well, now we just have to do it. No, always ask the question, why? What's the purpose? If we don't know the purpose of what we're doing, then maybe we need to revisit it. Important stuff. I want to turn to another passage. If you could, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10:38. one of these cool little stories. You gotta love. Matthew, Mark, Luke 10, verse 38. Short little story, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. I just love those types of parishioners. Just come gather here and just sit at my feet. No, I'm just kidding. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Look, we've got to cut the apples and put the little spice on it so that it doesn't brown really fast. And we've got to make sure that everything's on ice. And we've got to make sure the nursery is clean and all the music. So there's lots of things to happen when it comes to church. Right? She was distracted by all the things that had to happen. And so she came and starts complaining. I do more than the nursery people. I even do more than you, Pastor. You just sit back there and pray. I'm not picking on anyone because no one's done that to me. So you all are just a wonderful bunch of people. But this is where the danger starts happening. I always love to think in the future, what is Searchlight Ministries going to look like? Because I know that some of you have been here since the beginning. I'm looking around and I can point you out. I'm not going to. But there are people that have been here from day one. So in other words, you can never say this in our church. Well, I've been here before you, to me, because I was actually here before all y'all. And there's only six other people that can say that. But you can come rather close. You can say, I've been here at least from the beginning. And sometimes people say, well, this is how we've always done it. And luckily that can never happen in this church. Praise God. But that's something we've got to watch out for. 5 years from now, are we going to become so pharisaical that when it comes time to move the church, change the chairs, get a projector, paint the walls green again, are so many people going to hit me like a ton of bricks after church saying, no, you can't do that. That's not allowed. That's not the way things happen. You get distracted by all the things that are happening. And what does Jesus say? Oh, well, then I love it and has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Yeah. I don't have a sister like that, I don't think. My sisters do that? I don't think they do that. Anyway, here we go. What does Jesus say, Martha, Martha? The Lord answered. I don't know if it sounds a lot like Brady Bunch and Martha, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. A lot of people, wonder, what is the point of this story? Well, the point of this story is don't forget the purpose. Jesus was not saying, hey, just let the lamb burn. Let's not have any preparations whatsoever. No, he's not saying that stuff. He says, you've got to make sure that you're doing the things for the right purpose. Martha, I think you're just getting distracted because you want everything to look perfect for me to be here, but that's not something that's of high priority to me. Actually, what I want is just a relationship with you. It's good to be busy. It's good to do stuff in the church, but why are you doing that which you are doing? Why do some people have longevity and some people don't? Have you ever asked a question about pastors? Why are there some pastors that after 10, 15 years of ministry, they stop? They're done. They're tired from what they are doing. They're tired because they don't know their purpose, but they're busy doing a lot of things. I see a lot of pastors doing a lot of things, and you got to ask the question, why in the world are you doing that which you are doing? What is the purpose behind it? Because if you don't have the purpose, you'll be busy, and soon you'll burn out, and then you'll die, and the people will have a very nice funeral for you. Got to watch out that you don't just do stuff. Don't just be busy. And this is in life. This is in your marriage. This is with your kids. This is also in the church. Don't get busy around here just to be busy. Be busy for a purpose. Be busy for a reason. Okay, now, what happens here? We'll go back up here. Yeah, what do we got here? Yeah, sure. Yes, the next category. Some people have the wonderfully awesome chance to actually discover the purpose that God has put them here for. I'm going to talk a little bit later on about general purpose and specific purpose. For the most part, I'm talking about specific purposes in which God has called us to do certain things. So I'm talking about this mostly. A lot of people find their purpose in life, but because they've been so busy doing the things that have nothing to do with their purpose, they have a hard time changing. So they end up in this category. They found their purpose, but they just don't do anything about it. They sit on it. And they're frustrated because they feel stuck. They're unfulfilled because they know they're not actually doing what God's commanded. And then the dangerous part is that's when correction starts creeping in from God. Because when God gives you a purpose, He actually expects you to carry it out. He actually expects you to do something. We got plenty of biblical examples of people that have found their purpose, but then didn't do anything about it. Who are those? First one that came to my mind was Jonah. Yeah, God bless this guy. You know, he's you know, good sermon fodder. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. You know, it's wonderful when God speaks this directly. Yeah, it's clear cut. There's no question about it. It's unequivocal. And he is that a word? Yes, it is. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness had come up before me. Now, please stop and take a notice. First of all, this is a specific purpose. We don't know that much about Jonah's life. We don't know much about what did he do after. We don't know much about a lot of the biblical characters and what they did after they found their purpose. But what we do find is people get their purpose and then they do one of two things. Either they do something about it or they don't. Jonah, we know, one of his purposes in life, a specific purpose, go to the great city of Nineveh. Of course, what does he do? But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We find out later why he does that. We'll get to that in a moment. Who are some other people? Adam, he's a great guy to talk about. Genesis chapter 2. But Adam had a specific purpose to do. It was actually rather simple. And the Lord commanded that you are free to eat anything from this garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. That was his purpose. Adam had one sole responsibility in life. Yeah. It's hard, right, when you ask, especially kids, you're like, okay, today, this is what you need to do. You got it? Yeah. You walk away, the next thing you know, they're doing the exact opposite that you do. Then you know, then that's why you can feel like God, okay? You can feel powerful and like, you know, how come people... Because this is what's happening here. One thing, only one thing in all the world that this guy had to do. And of course, we know what happens. Also, what do we have? Next one. We're studying 1 Samuel, so I always love to pull examples from what we just studied. And this is what happened. Saul is a newly elected and appointed king in life for the Israelite nation. God's a little ticked off, I guess, because he was kind of upset. How dare you, you know, ask for a king instead of just following me? And so he says, okay, you want a king? I'll give you a king. And your king is now King Saul. And he says, you have this person, his name is Samuel. He is your prophet. He is going to tell you all the things that you need to accomplish in life. All you have to do, your sole purpose, King Saul, listen to Samuel. That's all you have to do. So Saul is out there and a big opposing army is ready for battle. His army sees the opposing army, starts freaking out. They start fleeing. They start leaving. And so Saul's left with a few of his guys, and he goes, gosh, and you know what? I haven't even done the proper sacrifices yet. But we find out that Samuel said, wait for me until I show up, and then we'll do the sacrifices, and then you can go out to battle. Well, Saul gets a little bit antsy, a little bit anxious, and what does he do? He sacrifices. He says, I thought now the Philistines would come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. And Samuel said, oops, you had one purpose only. You acted foolishly, Samuel said, and I think I have his punishment up here. Yes, you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. So people fall into this category. Now, maybe you have at one time or another. God has said, this is your specific... Go to the next slide. Is it black? Yeah, good. Too many people figure out what they believe God's asking them to do in life, but then they end up not doing anything about it. Heather's purpose in life right now is to take my son out so that y'all stop looking at him. No, he's a good kid. Ah, Joshua. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, Heather, your sole purpose in life is to love me. And my sole purpose in life is to love you back. Yes. Did that work? Was that good? No, okay. Yeah. A lot of people find out what they're supposed to do and then they don't do anything about it. You do not know how many pastors I meet that fell into that category. God placed a burden and an urgency on their life. You need to be a pastor. And what do? They don't like that call. And so they end up running the opposite direction and become an insurance salesman. And I'm not bagging on insurance salesmen. I think they're great. But they end up doing something that is opposite. They found their purpose, but they don't do anything about it. Now, these people, that's when the correction comes in. And how many pastors have I talked to who says, you don't know how miserable my life was. You don't know how unfulfilled I was. And you don't know how much correction came down from God until finally and ultimately God placed that burden on me so much and corrected me so much that I finally ended up coming to seminary. Too many people find out what God wants them to do, but then don't do anything about it. You've got to ask yourself, am I in that category? Have I found out what I believe God wants me to do with my life or in a specific instance? And am I ready and willing to actually do it? Or do I want to keep doing what I'm not? I have some passages up here. These are going to be some solution. Oh, no, I don't. I don't have passages up there. Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. Romans chapter 9. There we go. Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Too many people, I think, look at their purpose in life and say, it's not purposeful. And then they end up on Oprah or Dr. Phil. They say stuff like, I know I'm supposed to be a mother to my children, but I don't want to do it. And I'm going to fight tooth and nail against that and do just the opposite. How many people say, because being a mother, what an unworthy calling. What an unpurposeful purpose that is. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't accomplish anything in life. And then we start doing the old selfish bit. Well, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. And you got to then be reminded of Jonah. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. But is it a question of what you want, or is it a question on God's calling on to your life? Some people are going to be called to different things. And it is not up to us to sit there and find out which one is more important or which one is better, because that's what Romans 9 says. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? And who is he really talking to? He's talking to the common use pots. This is nice and all, I'm a pot. And all I do is carry water. Who really cares? And you start demeaning the very call that God has placed on your life. Sometimes it's out of fear. I think that was Jonah's problem. Fear of going into a very hostile city and fear of actually seeing the graciousness of God work in people's life. And you got to ask, am I sitting around questioning God's call because I don't want to? Or because I'm too busy doing other things? And am I willing to change? Also, I have another one up here, I think. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. I pray that people actually feel themselves counted worthy of the calling that God has placed on their lives and not sit around and say, my calling is less than your calling or my calling is better than your calling. I would hate for that to start happening. I would hate if people started thinking that you were better or you were worse than others around you. It is not a question of who's got the good purpose, who's got the bad one. We all have a call from God to do certain things. And there's only one thing that's required then, our obedience to do that. And then I think I have one more, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to make a little bit of stretch here. I'm going to take an application and pull it a little bit from this. This was the whole idea of Peter getting the call to stand up and eat unclean animals, and he finally realized what that meant. He said, surely not, Lord. Peter replied, I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Those are for those people that say, I am better than you. You do not get the opportunity to go around and make the decision who is doing the good stuff of God and who is doing the bad stuff of God. There is only one that does that, and that is God himself. Right. Amen. Go to the next slide. Okay. Last category. You know what? Hold it on to this slide here because I want to say one more thing that I think is important. I do want to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'm sorry I took this a little bit out of order, because I wanted to make sure that I gave you guys solutions, biblical solutions to this stuff. And I want to step back to the people that may feel like, I don't know what my purpose in life is. How do you solve that? How do you say, what does God want me to do? Well, it's simple, yet it's complicated. What God wants you to do is listen to Him. John chapter 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of him, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used the figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now, did you catch? I mean, he said it like 3, 4, 5 times in there. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep can determine what is God's call and what's not God's call. The problem is the sheep sometimes get a little too excited about eating the grass, that they don't have time to stop and listen to where the shepherd wants to take them. Sometimes we get confused about what voice is what, but I think more often we just get too lazy, just get too fat and happy, sitting there grazing on grass. And God wants us to do stuff and go places. But you have to listen to what God is saying. And when you do so, you will find your purpose, and then you will do. Let's go back up on PowerPoint. The last category. If you finally listen to God's voice and discover what purpose do I have in my life, then, and you actually start then doing it, you actually start operating within it. These are those people that you meet in life and they are just so stinking fulfilled. They always talk about their life in such glowing terms. They're so happy because they're actually doing what God has called them to do, and they're operating in that. There is no better feeling in life when you actually discover your purpose and then you start living it out. There is no better one. And you'll find out that you are, in fact, in God's will. Biblical examples, how many are there? Too many to count. David's purpose in life was to be a man after God's own heart. He fulfilled that purpose. Noah and his wife Joan. Joan of Arc. What was Noah's purpose? We all know Noah's purpose, right? What was Noah's purpose? To build an ark. Very simple. Well, not simple. Big schematics. But one thing. You got one thing I want you to do. You need to build an ark. And what did he do? He did it. He fulfilled God's purpose. Who else there, right, Dan? Yeah, it was easy to build an ark. I wish it was. Look, Moses. Moses had a job and a purpose in life. What was that? To get the Israelites out of Egypt. And then what about Joshua? Joshua's job was to take them finally, ultimately, into the promised land and lead them there. Peter, Paul, and ultimately, there was one more person, I think probably the biggest person, that had a purpose in his life and then fulfilled it, and that was Jesus Christ himself. John 3:17. Right after the famous John 3:16 passage. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus had one focus, one purpose in life. And that was to save us. He accomplished that by giving his life on the cross. He had the authority to lay down his life, and he had that authority to take his life back up again. Amen. That is so true. Too many people, again, when you take a look at Jesus and what he does, too many people want to look at him as just a great teacher. He was a great teacher. Some people want to look at him as a great prophet. He was a great prophet. But the biggest thing is that he came to save. I want to talk really briefly about general purpose and specific purpose. All of us were created for a general purpose. Look in your Bibles, book of Matthew, chapter 22. Starting at verse 36. Yeah, why is that?
Because it's true.
There is truth. And because there is a specific purpose for which the Bible was written.
That's right.
These were written so that you might have life. Matthew, chapter 22, starting at verse 36. Let's start at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He's going to ask the question, "What is that great general purpose?" And Jesus replies with a general purpose statement. This is what we are supposed to be doing in general. Now, when you take a look, again, Noah had a specific purpose. Moses had a specific purpose. Jonah had a specific purpose. All these people had specific purpose, but we also have a general purpose. And the general purpose is Matthew chapter 22, verse 3. This is it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That is your general purpose in life. Our general purpose is to love God with all of our being and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. So when you're going through life, make sure that you're still operating under that guise of the general purpose. But then we also have to find that specific purpose. Someone had to build an ark. Someone had to do it. And when did that finally happen? Well, that happened with Noah. Please be careful. You do not need to take on someone else's purpose. Has anyone here, or has anyone since Noah's time been commanded to build an ark? No! We all don't have that calling in our life. But all too often we say, boy, I want to do what that person is doing, or that thing is what I want to have happen in my life. And we start saying the specific purpose that I have must be the same as what that person has. No! It's not that comparison game. It's not trying to find out who's got the best purpose or what purpose you actually want. You have to find out what God wants for your life. Don't take Moses' purpose and make it your own. The Israelites ain't in Egypt anymore. They don't need to be rescued from that. Don't take Joshua's thing. You'll be walking around the promised land all by yourself. And don't take on Jesus' role either. Your job was not to lay your life down for the whole world. You have to find the specific purpose that God has called for you and then start living it out. There is a purpose, my friend. It is a core truth in life. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to sit around and do nothing, or are you actually going to start living the way God wants you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that there are different people here. I know that some of us are in different places. Maybe some of us are feeling like we don't know what our purpose is and we're just not going to do anything. And I pray that you would light that fire under us and get that purpose to be found. I know that some of us, Lord, are busy doing lots of things. We are busy doing our life, our work, our family. And Lord, help us to ask the question, why are we doing this? We pray, Lord, that we would listen to you, that we would be daring enough and willing enough to stop grazing on the grass and start hearing the voice of the shepherd that tells us what we need to do. Lord, I pray for those people that have found what they should do. maybe very specifically, but lack your spirit in such a way that they refuse to actually do it. And I pray for them, Lord. I pray that they would start following before they start getting corrected. And Lord, I pray for those people that have found what they're supposed to be doing and are actually doing it. Because I know a lot of them are sitting right here in these pews. I pray, Lord, that you would inspire us all to find that purpose and do it. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to what we need to hear. Give us the courage to accept that which you have given to us in life and then to do it. Lord, the only reason why we can pray, the only reason why we can ask any of this stuff is because of what your Son did. We thank you that Jesus had a purpose and that he fulfilled it. That you gave him the purpose to come down and ultimately die, come back to life to save the world. And we thank you that his life reflected that and that he accomplished that. Let him, Lord, be the inspiration for us all as we seek to do your will, find your will, and live out the purpose that you've given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.